Welcome to Hillcrest Congregational Church, United Church of Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. So we begin every worship service at Hillcrest, and so we begin this virtual worship service. I'm Reverend Dr. Fred Weidman, Senior Minister of Hillcrest Congregational Church, and I am standing in our beautiful sanctuary. The chancel table is decorated for the season of Lent. The candles are burning. I am privileged, as I am every Sunday, to be facing out towards the congregation and to be facing our beautiful stained glass windows, which are in front of me. And I am heartened to know that we are worshiping together as you are tuning into this and taking part in this worship service. As I speak, we don't know how long the suspension of public worship services will be. We do know that we will keep connecting with each other in this manner and hopefully even in improved virtual manners going forward. We will keep you posted about everything, including Holy Week services, Easter services, and all the ministries of Hillcrest. We begin our worship services, as we've heard, whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we are on quite a journey right now into uncharted territory. Can we trust our guides, the federal government, for example, state and county governments and other agencies? And what about our church offices and authorities? And how do we read and apply our Bible and tradition in and through and for such times? I'm going to stop asking questions for now and say that we will proceed with worship, and we thank God for this opportunity, even as we prepare for all eventualities to come. We will now hear the news of the community and prepare ourselves for worship.
Welcome on this third Sunday in Lent, March 15, 2020. I'm Cindy Durant, and I'm your liturgist for today. To continue on with what Fred said, the church office will remain open, as will the food room. Ministries are working as we speak on how they can continue their mission, and you will be notified every step of the way. If you have any questions at all, you can call the church office at 925-689-8260 or send an email to hillcrestucc@att.net. And also, if anyone is available and healthy, there will be opportunities to deliver food or medicine or to babysit. So see how that transitions. Please call the office. And now, settle yourselves. We'll be moving into our worship.
Our gospel reading for today is about the Samaritan woman at the well, strong, independent, self-reliant, a survivor by any standard. She knew what she needed and wanted, thank you very much. But she was offered something else by God, and she was smart enough to take it. What is God offering us for this time? As we enter into worship on this very different morning than any morning, perhaps, in Hillcrest history, I ask us to step back, quiet down, and call her into our hearts and souls, our Samaritan sister, with all her strengths and shortcomings. I ask us to call into our hearts and minds and souls those brothers, all of them scared, all of them searching for what to do, in that locked room, on what would become, though they didn't know it, Easter morning. What can we learn from them about what to do and how to be? and how not to be. I ask us to call into our hearts and minds and souls Mary Magdalene in particular, and the other sisters who were out and about in the dark of what would become Easter morning, though they didn't know it. What can we learn from them? This much they all knew, at least on some level, God is with us. And so we listen.
God is our life. God is our strength. God's love is forever. God is our life. God is our strength. God's love is forever. God is our life. God is our strength.
Now we're going to move into a guided meditation. Feel free to follow my voice, or if you choose, just tune out my voice and just pay attention to your breath. Get comfortable in a quiet place, close your eyes, and take a couple of deep breaths. In, out, in, out. As you continue to breathe deeply and slowly, imagine you are outdoors in a favorite spot, a park, a beach, a place in the woods, anywhere that you feel safe and at peace. As you make yourself comfortable by sitting or lying down, feel the breeze brush your cheek. Hear the birds call out in song or cries. Feel the sun gently warming you with its rays, and imagine those rays are God's love. Now slowly, with your next inhale, bring this divine light into your body, through your eyes or the top of your head, and feel it move slowly down your neck, into your chest, and center at your heart. You may experience this as a feeling of warmth, of tingling, expansion, and perhaps see the image of Jesus' radiant heart, Mother Mary, the Buddha, or another sacred symbol. Envision the divine light of love and compassion spreading from your heart to all of those places where you feel resistance. Perhaps you feel disconnected or undeserving. Perhaps you are lonely or experiencing the darkness of illness, depression, or grief. Allow this light to touch each and every part of you, bringing feelings of lightness, of joy, of wholeness. Remember that this is where God resides, in the quiet of the still, small voice, reminding us that we too are divine. Now, as you continue to breathe, visualize the faces of those in our Hillcrest community. Bring them through your mind one at a time. And sense the light of divine love and compassion expanding from your heart to all of these people in their homes or elsewhere, closing the distance between you. Continue to spread this light to all people as they search for God's love in the midst of this global outbreak, that they may share with you these moments of grace and peace. Through the silence that follows, continue to breathe in divine love and compassion and send it out through your exhale, feeling the joy that comes with sharing this gift of love with the world until the bell calls you back.
As we move into a time of the prayers of the people, we pray for all in our immediate and extended Hillcrest family who were planning for upcoming memorial services, which have been postponed. For Linda Rondeau, a dear friend of Katie Colbath, and others in this church whom I was privileged to be with, along with her dear family and friends, as she was in her final days on this side of reality. Her service was to have been this coming Saturday, March 21st. For our dear brother Martin Jahnke, his family and friends, and all of us who mourn his loss, his service was to have been Saturday, April 4th. We pray for all who grieve. We pray for all who have been and are being affected by the spread of COVID-19, those infected, those caring for those infected, those who want to be tested but are being turned away, those working to right the deficiencies in our healthcare systems, and those working so hard to be diligent and effective with what we have in place. We pray for all who are in so-called higher risk categories. We pray for all of us and all the world as we face this set of challenges together. We pray for all who are dealing with the other deep concerns and challenges within our world which go on, those displaced due to war, poverty, and climate change, all who are homeless, all who are in need of health care. We pray together. And I ask us now to pray openly. I will begin our prayer and invite each of you to call out whatever petitions and thanksgivings you would like, or simply to hold silence. After a brief time, I'll ask that we, all of us, from wherever we are, say, O Lord, hear our prayer. Sisters and brothers, let us pray. Dear God, you have called us and chosen us and marked us as your own. You created us from the smallest and most delicate parts of our DNA to our most visible outward appearances in your image. And you have blessed us with life and with all the resources for life that are ours in you. And you have promised us your presence in our lives in all that life brings our way. We ignore those promises and your presence in us and all around us a lot. And we ask your forgiveness and ask you to right our ways. And as now is one of those times, in response to a broadly perceived and felt threat, where we and many in our nation and around the world wake up to your presence and your promises and your strength, we ask that you hear our prayers, our concerns, our joys, our hopes, as we speak them from wherever we are now, whether aloud or in our hearts. And I will leave some time to do so. And now, let all who are worshiping say from wherever you are, O Lord, hear our prayer. And now we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray together, I invite you to do so aloud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer.
Our scripture reading. Our first lesson is from the book of Exodus, from the time of the so-called wilderness wandering, that in-between time from when they had been in slavery in Egypt to when they had entered and begun to live in the so-called promised land. Let's listen. But the people thirsted for water. The people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." And this is from Exodus 17, 3 through 6.
We now hear the gospel lesson assigned for this third Sunday in Lent. The gospel is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. I won't even try to introduce this extraordinary story. Simply listen. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
You see, Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. But Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." In response, the woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
And Jesus responded, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." She answered him,
"I have no husband."
Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him,
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for God seeks such as these to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to Jesus,
"I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people there,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." And this is the good news. We move now into what in a normal Sunday service at Hillcrest would be the children's moment, and then I'll move right into the sermon. In future services during this period of time, I look forward to having our pastoral associate leading us in children's moments as she usually does. Now, I'd like to ask all kids who are worshiping, and by that I mean children of any and all ages, so please, adults, jump in. I'd like to ask you how it feels, all that's happening. For the kids, it's school's closing, right? And I wonder, as I'm talking to the kids, has your school closed already? Is it planning to? A lot have, right? I wonder if yours was one of the first to close, or did your brother or sister or friend's school close before yours? And what about other things you do? Sports teams, music, all kinds of things. Have those changed? And what about the people around you, or when you're out at a store or park or driving around or something? Are people acting in different ways? How? And how does it feel? I think it feels funny or weird. Some of the things people are doing, I don't get. Like some of the things that everybody, of course it isn't everybody, but it kind of seems like it. Some of the things that everybody seems to be buying and stocking up on. Some of it I get, some of it I don't. What else are people doing differently? Our first lesson about the people of God escaping from slavery. Think about that. They had escaped from slavery. Yet, when things got different and even a little scary, and they weren't sure exactly where they were going, some of them, maybe even a lot of them, said, "Take me back! Take me back to where we were!" Even if it means being a slave again. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Or, on some level, does it kind of make sense? When things are scary, or kind of weird, or different, when we don't know what's coming, it can be really normal to think, "Take me back to the way it was. I want to go back to the way it was." Do you feel that way now? A little? Well, God promises us that God is with us even when we don't know exactly what's coming next. Maybe even especially when we don't know what's coming next. God is with us. And God gives us people to help us. So look for those people who are really there to help you and to be your friend. And keep talking to God through praying and reading Bible studies. And even when we can't come to church the regular way, we have worship services like this, and we have other ways to be church together. So let's keep doing all that. Okay? Okay. And let us pray a close to this children's moment. Oh God, help us to know that you are with us and that you have special people all around us who can help when things are a little different or even a little scary. Help us to always remember who you are and always remember who we are. And especially to remember that that doesn't change, even when things around us change. Thank you for all the ways that we know you are with us and that we can stay connected to you and to others during this time. And I invite everybody to say from where they are, Amen. And I want to move now just into a very brief reflection or two, and then I want to invite your responses to some questions I'm going to ask. And if I forget to do it when I get to that part, you've already heard Cindy read out the email address of the church. You'd be welcome to use that. Let me also give you my direct email address. revfred.hillcrest@atd.net. That's R-E-V-F-R-E-D dot Hillcrest, H-I-L-L-C-R-E-S-T, at A-T-T dot N-E-T. Now, little did I know when we went to print with the bulletin I'm holding in my hand, and yes, we did go to print with a bulletin for this service. Little did I know that the sermon title would be so apropos. The sermon title is Because. It's supposed to be a reference to that Samaritan woman and her smarts and her action. We're told many Samaritans from the city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Because. But now I want to turn this sermon, as I said, into just a couple of brief reflections and some questions for you because of the uniqueness of this opportunity to be connecting together at this time of social distancing, because of the challenges that we face, and because of all that we've already encountered in this worship service and all that it calls us to do and be. First, if we've already talked about that time in the wilderness. Now, among other things to note in the particular lesson that Cindy read from the book of Exodus about that time in the wilderness is not only the people's frustration and grumbling and their astounding desire to go back, even if into slavery. Better the devil you know, huh? And how fitting a metaphor that is for so much of the ignorance and reliance on misinformation that so many in our nation appear to live by. What does Moses do? What does Moses say to God? He doesn't hide. He doesn't hide from his own feelings. He doesn't hide from himself, from all that he feels inside, and he doesn't hide from God. He calls out, cries out, prays, God, help me. God, help us. And not only did he have the wisdom to bear his own soul to God, he had the wisdom to listen for God's response. Sisters and brothers, I pray for this church and for all in our nation not to act like strong, in control, I got this, thank you very much, Americans. I pray for us to be cool and calm in public, yes. And I pray for us to be open, very open, very, very open with God and to discern God's call for us as we go forward together into new territory. And secondly, and just briefly, keeping with the theme of bearing our souls, did you notice how wonderful this encounter is? These two extraordinary people, this woman, and Jesus, of course. It's like when you meet someone, maybe a stranger, maybe from a different place, or who looks different, or who acts different, or who professes a different faith, and then you're kind of feeling each other out, asking each other some questions, sorting out whether you can trust him or her. What might you have to learn from him or her, or share with them? All of that is going on. And unlike what is so typical for us Americans, each of them bears their soul. I mean, look at what she gets out of Jesus. I mean, this is Jesus, after all, she's talking to. And on some level, he opens up to her as if he's talking to a trusted priest or mentor. And of course, her. See how she is willing to open herself up fully, no masks, as she begins to realize the power and opportunity that God has put before her in Jesus Christ. Sisters and brothers, how can we be like Moses and cry out? Just cry out like a soul in need. God, what would you have me do? What would you have us do? Can we do that? How can we do that? How can we be like Moses and listen for God in these times? And how can we be like the Samaritan woman and see and recognize and engage and grow from and grow with the opportunities that God puts right before us, right in front of us? Do we miss it or do we seize it like she did? I want to call God into this circle right now. And I want to ask you, as you are part of this circle, where are you hurting? How do you want to cry out? Where are you hurting for yourself or others? How do you want to cry out for yourself, for them? I'll leave just a little time for you to think about that and to feel that. And now, from a question about where are you hurting and how do you want to cry out, I want to ask you this question. Where do you see opportunity? Where do you see opportunity for yourself or for others or for our nation in this time? Where do you see opportunity? I'll leave a little time to think about that and feel that. I'm imagining what some of those responses are, and I'm imagining the fun and joy and learning we would have together were this one of our conversation sermons at Hillcrest, and we could hear our sisters and brothers respond. And I ask you, please respond to me, and I will share as appropriate at revfred.hillcrest@att.net. As we move these reflections to a close, I want to quote from what may be the first full sentence ever written in the New Testament. That is, I want to quote from the beginning of St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, which we think is the oldest document we have in the New Testament. The first church communication that we have. And what does Paul write to that family of faith? We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before God your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hillcrest family and friends, like Moses and those with him, like the Samaritan woman and those with her, like all of them, We don't know exactly where we're going or exactly how we'll get there. We know that there will be changes to how we engage in our work of faith and labor of love together. And we know, at least I ask us to commit ourselves deeply to this, we know that the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ will see us through, will keep us strong, and will keep us focused on maintaining our own health as individuals and as a community. We are in this together, even as we sort out how to keep each other strong and keep shining a light to and for our community at a time of social distancing. God bless all of our movements and all of our responses to the challenges and opportunities before us. And let everybody say, Amen.
Amen. Now, in a regular worship service, this is where we would provide the call to offering and ask ourselves and remind ourselves why it is important to give. The ushers then come to collect our offerings as we hear the choir sing or listen to our accompanist play alone or with a band of other instruments. Voice, hands, feet, yours, mine, all together making music, literally, and making music in and for the world as we support and maintain and grow our ministries in caring for each other and the world. Sisters and brothers, giving is as important now, maybe more important now, as we get through this next period of time. Public worship is suspended, but our church is not closed. Quite the opposite, our ministries continue in new and different ways, and our caring ministries continue. Please give and continue to give by sending in your pledges or offering through the mail, dropping them off, or giving online at hillcrest.ucc.org. That's hillcrestucc.org. You can call the office at 925-689-8262 if you would like help setting up the electronic offering.
Excuse me, 689-8260.
Oops. Okay, needs to be changed. It's also a time for us to give of our time and our talent. I encourage you to call each other. Check in especially with those who you know live alone and are isolated at this time of social distancing. We are a church together. We give together as we support one another and support our ministries. Thank you.
As I've listened to the call to offering and as we move towards a final blessing, I'm thinking of the doxology that we sing together, and I wonder if you have that wonderful, good old tune in your heads. And I wonder if you remember the special words that we sing during this special season of Lent. The special season of Lent is 40 days, and we're in it now. We don't know, we can't know exactly how long this particular period of time of responding to the COVID-19 virus will be. But it is consistent with this period of Lent, and it is a period of time. And so these words feel ever more meaningful. Praise God throughout these 40 days. Praise Christ our Lord, whom God did raise, and praise the Spirit who imparts God's love in Christ into our hearts. And everybody sings together then. Amen. And now as we receive the blessing, and as we do on a normal worship service at Hillcrest, I'm going to ask you to share peace after we hear the blessing. As we receive the blessing, how fitting is it that these most traditional words, I just said, I was quoting from what might be the first line ever written for the New Testament, this blessing is one of the most ancient parts of our, what we Christians call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, that we strongly believe goes back even to before there was a Hebrew Bible, and it comes from that time when the people were in the wilderness, when they had escaped and they didn't yet know where they were going. And Moses offered this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you and give the whole world peace. Amen. And now, as I do every Sunday, I invite you to share the peace, and I invite you to do it this way. As we were asked during the guided meditation, picture our Hillcrest community and picture particular individuals within our Hillcrest community and particular actions of our Hillcrest community and simply say peace. And offer peace with a word of peace, by bringing your hands to your heart, by stretching your arms open wide. Offer a gift of peace for our community, for our broader community. Don't forget yourself and for the world. Amen.